this sermon series, Discipleship. And this morning, the first chapter, shall we say, the first chapter is called Answering the Call. What are you looking for? Jesus asked a few of John's disciples, who were curious about who exactly he was. When they asked him where he was staying, Jesus said, "Come and see." And as we ponder the calling of disciples today, I'd like us to think of this scripture passage as a question for our congregation. So rather than look at this through the lens of the individual, let's imagine for a few minutes that Jesus is asking St. Paul's United Congregation, "What are you looking for?" And as the conversation goes along, maybe Jesus invites us to come and see. Come and see where he is living in our city. To come and find out what work he's doing amongst us. And maybe eventually, Jesus will say to us as a congregation, "Will you come and follow me?" Because really, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it means to be the church. Now, the gospel reading tells us that discipleship begins with God incarnate calling us, speaking to us, inviting us to come and see for ourselves. Don't take it from what someone else says. Come and see for yourself what Jesus is calling us to right now, at this time and in this place. And then the scripture story, which Beth just read, tells how we're offered a blessing of transformation, how we're taught and shown how to walk the talk, how to live the God-shaped life. This means that just like those first disciples, we will be taken out of the life we know. We will be asked to step outside our comfort zone and our worldview as a community of faith will change forever. This is what theologian and amazing person of faith, Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, called costly discipleship. Discipleship is costly. According to the model that John gives us, we will eventually be commissioned to take the next logical step in the discipleship process, go and tell others so that they can experience the transformation of their life. And you heard in that reading how the disciples, one by one, went and told friends and relatives, people they cared about. And this means, too, for us, that we will be asked to share our personal faith stories of transformation with anyone who asks. You don't have to be a theologian or have degrees in theology. We just need to tell in our own words what following Jesus means to us. How has it changed our life? What does it mean that we know the stories? Tell me the old, old stories, as the hymn used to say. Jesus has teachings and words of comfort and points the way to abundant life, to God's kingdom. Now, you probably know, as I've seen over the years, the very best way to get people to come to church is what? To invite them, to bring them, to ask them to come. Yeah, that. I know several people, and you might too, who when they tell the story of their faith, they say, you know, one day my neighbor said, "Why don't you come to church with me?" And I was so taken by surprise, I didn't have anything else to do, so I went. And the rest is history. People have become faithful Christians and churchgoers all because somebody said to them one day, "Come and see." You see, my friends, the kingdom of God is not about some heavenly time far off in the future. It's about you and me, ordinary people, building new foundations. It's about us living as if the kingdom life were here and now. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within. He said it's here, it's all around you, it's within you. It's absolutely available to us right now and right here. I think it's always been true that the human mind has sought to know things about life's eternal mystery. The philosophers in ancient times, people of faith, the prophets. It's something that makes us who we are as humans. And for some people, especially I notice today, this unconscious yearning for meaning and something at the center of their life generates a frenzy of consumption and activity. They're running around, they don't know exactly what they want. They've never really named the deep longing. In fact, they don't even have the words to do so. They're busy, 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 chasing the wrong things, not knowing what will really give them peace and give meaning to their life. They've never heard Jesus' stories of love and compassion. So why not invite them to come and see? Who knows what might happen? And there's another way an invitation could work, and you may have done this. Many people want to help others and make the world a better place. That's not hard for people to say. And the church has outreach ministries which can help in that. The church's outreach ministries, such as your pantry, and when we had the Out of the Cold in the evenings a year ago, the church's outreach ministries, all of them, offer ways to serve people through programs and initiatives that reach out in compassion with non-judgmental hands and feet, reaching out to everyone in need. And the outreach ministries have an open door. Anyone could actually serve alongside us. They don't have to be a card-carrying member of the United Church. Maybe that's the door they enter in by. Maybe they come and work in the food bank or work in another program and eventually come to worship. It's an opportunity we have, something that we do anyway. And so, like Jesus, we could ask them, "What are you looking for?" And then we could say, "Come and see what we're doing here at St. Paul's to make the world a better place, a more compassionate place." And who knows what the Spirit might use and work with that. Well, the past year and a few months have brought about huge changes in every single aspect of our world. We all know that. And so I wonder, maybe you do, what is God calling this congregation to in this next stage of its historic and long faithful ministry? As downtown Fredericton changes yet again, the shop owners, the restaurant owners, the entertainment venues, everybody's had to change. Have you heard the word pivot a million times? Everyone's being challenged. So why not us? How does our ministry need to change? Now, one very inconvenient thing that seems true about God's call is that it's often short on specific detail. I have certainly found that in my own life. And we could look at scripture, we can think of the Israelites when they were captives in Egypt, and they were called to escape and journey to the promised land, there was no map. There were no travel instructions. They were just called to follow. And that journey had its ups and downs, as you remember. Or we might think of Mary, young girl Mary, called to bear God's child. Not many details there about what that was going to mean in her life. But she said, "Here I am, Lord." Or we could even look at these first disciples that we met in the scripture read today. Same for them. It is an understatement, for sure, to say that one doesn't know what lies ahead when you say yes to God's call. But the list of good news stories is growing across the United Church of Canada. Stories of United Church congregations from coast to coast to coast, taking risks and daring bold new hopes for the future of the church in their place and time. Here's a few examples. One large downtown congregation, which I served in Vancouver, has decided to sell a piece of their property right downtown, which a decade ago they used and had turned into an apartment building. And they're using the money from that sale to completely renovate and upgrade their huge sanctuary, which is nowhere near as old as this one. It was built in 1933. But they're making a major investment in that sanctuary. Clearly, they've decided to invest their resources and their energy and their hope in there being a need for worship for a long time to come. Another example from a small community in Ontario called Merrickville. It's located between London and Kingston. It decided to partner with a local events producer to become a venue for concerts and other arts events. On Sundays, it functions as a church for worship with a sanctuary. But during the rest of the week, it becomes Merrickville United Arts Center. The transformation and renovations that were needed for this were enabled by a large, unrestricted bequest given to the congregation. So rather than put that money away in a bank account, they invested in a new future. They sought to bring new life not only to themselves, but to the wider community around them. And now, says their minister, it's an actual living space around the week, through the week. And one final example, which you may have heard of, Hillhurst United in Calgary, become quite famous over the last decade. It's a story of dramatic congregational renewal and transformation. And their minister, Reverend John Pentland, actually wrote a book about it, which you may also have heard about, called Fishing Tips. It's a very good book with lots of good tips for congregational renewal that come out of what they actually did. It's not theory, it's practice. He found, and they found, that the right positive attitude and faithful actions generated new life for their congregation. This is like a lot of things, you know, once it starts rolling in that direction, momentum is gained and more starts to happen. Now, of course, discernment is needed, very important at times like these, because what worked for one church may not work, will likely will not work for another. So together, because discernment is always done together, together we must ask, what is God calling us to do and be? And be prepared to be surprised. Questions must be asked by the community of faith, such as, does this sound like something that God would ask of us? Does it point to new life and creativity? Does it point to justice and compassion? And who benefits if we were to do this? And what motivates, what's behind the action? The scripture from today's gospel reading tells us clearly that Jesus' call is hard to refuse or ignore. And it changes and transforms everything going forward. It means an end to the life we knew before the call was heard. And it does not promise to be easy or painless. It must involve the whole community of faith at every step. But does it ever make a difference? Faith is a community affair. We think so often about faith being up to an individual, but it's about the community of faith, all of us together. And faith and transformation often grow deeper in times of challenge. You may have discovered that. Many, many people would say the same, that it's through the hard, difficult, challenging time that when they look back, their faith has grown and deepened. And another thing about call, and we can see this all throughout the scriptures, it seems that there's very often an initial resistance to the call. Moses said it. Remember Moses, when he heard the call from the burning bush, he said, "Maybe you mean my brother Aaron. You must mean Aaron, not me." Even prophets like Isaiah, one of his famous lines when he heard the call, "But I'm just a boy." It's very common to feel unprepared, not equipped. And the truth is too, if we're honest, that many times we don't want the disruption to our comfortable life routine. We'd just like to carry on the way things are. More often than not, though, given some time and some prayer, we realize that God will accompany us and support us. God will give us the courage and the wisdom and show us the way. And so we step forward in trust and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here we are," as many, many have done before us. We are, after all, people of the way. We're sojourners, we're wanderers, and we move on in faith, always following the light of Christ. The reading from John's Gospel reminds us that call and discernment and evangelism are three timeless aspects of what it means to be a disciple, and all pieces are necessary. All are part of a whole. God in Christ pulls us, each one of us, to follow him. Like the gravitational pull of the moon on the Earth's oceans. Will we trust in the witness of Scripture and see the continuing story of God's faithfulness as it plays out right here in our congregation? It's not over. Do we have a clear identity grounded in an understanding that we are to be the hands and feet of Christ? That's who we are as Christians. In other words, every time we offer help to others as part of our ministry, we are offering it as a gift to Jesus. And can't you hear Jesus saying to us, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Something I have always believed in is that Jesus is always ahead of us, several steps ahead of us, as it says at the end of Mark's Gospel. Jesus is always around the corner, down the road. He's not stuck moaning over whatever has happened today. He's down there. He's on the way. He's off to the future, calling us to come and follow, to come and see where he's going and to see what's next for us. May we have discernment and courage, and may we have a willingness to set aside preconceived notions. May we be open to God, who is always, always doing a new thing in our midst, even now. Thanks be to God, who is steadfast and faithful. Amen.